Good evening. Just a few announcements. I'll get to them before Pastor says them this time, so I have all of them to say this tonight. Just to remind everybody that March 31st is Resurrection Sunday, and we'll be celebrating Easter. And like always, the Tuesday night before that, we do have our Lord's Supper for all the members of the church, and that's at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. And then I do want to also remind everybody that the fellowship dinner sign-up sheet is out in the foyer out there. If you make sure you sign up for that if you're interested in getting involved with the fellowship dinners. And then if you do have any questions, you know, how that goes, you can ask the other people that have been involved with the fellowship dinners, or you can ask Juanita Schmidt, and she'll let you know everything about it. And then, I think the only other thing I had to say was if you haven't turned in your red sheets yet for the mission promise, you still can do that. And that way we can see where we're going to be at this year and see where the Lord's going to take us for the next year during our faith promise. And I think that's all I had.
Now that you've got all the announcements read, I have a missionary letter I'm going to read. Well, let's see. I got a letter from Brother Park. And of course, he was here last week staying in the missionary apartment. He's getting ready to go back. And here's his letter that he sent out in March. And he said, Dear Pastor and praying friends, he says, the Whitakers are former missionaries to Korea, and under their ministry, I was able to hear the gospel of Jesus and accept Christ as my Savior way back in 1969. When my wife and I started deputation, it was one of our desires to see them again. On February 4th of this year, we finally had a chance to visit them in their house in Roswell, New Mexico. It was a blessing to see them again after 40 years since they left Korea. They were not doing so well physically. Mrs. Whitaker is suffering from Alzheimer's for the last 10 years. But their love for Korea and Korean people has not changed. We talked about those old pastors and people with whom they worked together. It was a blessing, a blessed time. And as we were seeing Pastor, or leaving, Pastor Whitaker prayed. And his prayer for us and for our ministry was very special to us. And then he goes on to talks about deputation. He says, Jay, that's his wife, and I are with Pastor Thomas Stout in Villanola Baptist Church in Decatur, Minnesota. I guess MI is Minnesota, isn't it? MI? Michigan? All right, Michigan. And for their mission conference, this is the last Sunday of our deputation. Now, this was prior to them staying here last week. We will leave for Washington on Monday. Of course, this is all past tense. I guess I probably don't need to read that portion there. He said, we are so thankful to the Lord for the churches and his people during our deputation of 18 and a half months. The Lord allowed us to visit about 220 churches. That's a lot of churches in 18 months. And meet many wonderful pastors and church people. We put almost 75,000 miles on our van so far. We have stayed in many mission houses and apartments, motels, and people's homes. We're able to raise almost 100% of our support. How can I express our gratitude for the love and encouragement of these churches? Jay and I are very humbled by the goodness of God and by the kindness of his people. He said, the Lord not only provided us a building to start a church for free of rent in Seoul, Korea, but also helped Pastor Lee to find an apartment for us, not for free, but affordable. We will make a contact when we get there in April, which is next month, of course. Please pray for the following as we wrap up our deputation this month. He said, resettlement expenses in Korea, apartment deposit, shipping, etc. Needs for the new church in Seoul, PA system, digital piano, etc. And our family in the States that he will be leaving behind. Thank you again for your love, prayers, and support. Our next letter will be from Korea. Praise the Lord. Greeting in his service, brother and sister Benjamin Park. Wonderful gentleman, going to do a great job for the Lord. He will be missed in the state of Washington, where he has served for the last 22 years, ministering to many Korean people. There are many Korean people in the state of Washington, and he will be greatly missed, but the Lord's moving him onto a different field, back his home, where he'll reach, I'm sure, many, many Korean people for Christ. All right. That's my missionary letter. Brother Charles did a good job this morning, didn't he? Wasn't that great? And Jeff, you did a wonderful job, except, well, yeah, we got all cleaned up here. I was watching your annex up here holding that bag, and I saw the hole in it, and I saw all this rock salt coming out. And I thought of an illustration. I said, you know, the closer you stand to Christ, the lighter your burden gets. As he's holding a bag of rock salt that's coming out the hole. And he's standing next to Christ. So the longer you stand close to Christ, your burden gets lighter. Is that a good illustration? You guys don't. Okay. Go ahead, Charles. Whatever you're going to do, go ahead. Do a good job.
All right. I guess we'll take our offering at this time. So if you would please stand and... Appreciate Miss Angela filling in while Brother Fred and Miss Darlene aren't here. She's doing a great job. Really appreciate that. All right. Well, it's good to be back tonight and have another chance to preach God's word. And it was just a blessing to see the young lady saved this morning. Just a blessing to my heart. And looking forward to see what the Lord's going to do tonight. So, if you would, please, in your Bibles, turn again to Mark chapter number 10. Mark chapter number 10. And if you would, please, if you're able, please stand and we'll read God's word. Read again the whole story that I read this morning, and then we'll read on a little bit further into the text that we're going to talk about tonight. So Mark chapter number 10, we'll start in verse number 17. Verse 17 says, "And when he was gone forth into the way, there came one running, and kneeled to him, and asked him, Good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, Why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, that is God. Thou knowest the commandments, do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And he answered and said unto him, Master, all these I observed from my youth. And then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, One thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me. And he was sad at that saying, and went away grieved, for he had great possessions. And Jesus looked around about, and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And the disciples were astonished at his word. But Jesus answereth again, and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they were astonished out of measure, saying among themselves, Who then can be saved? And Jesus, looking upon them, With men it is impossible, but with God, but not with God, for with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say unto him, Lo, we have left all and followed thee. And Jesus answered and said, Verily I say unto you, there is no man that have left house, or brethren, or sisters, or father, or mother, or wife, or children, or lands, for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold, now in this time, houses, and brethren, and sisters, and mothers, and children, and lands, with persecutions, and in the world to come, eternal life. But many that are first shall be last, and the last first. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for this day, Lord. Thank you for just the wonderful service we had this morning, Lord. And I thank you for the lady getting saved, Lord. And I pray that you just be with me tonight. Give me the words to say, Lord, that you can speak through me to the hearts of the congregation, Lord. And I pray that just give us a good service now. Be with us now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So this morning I had our illustration. We had David and Jeff come up, and we had our treasure, our wealth, our possessions over here on this side. And then we had on this side Jesus. Come and follow him, take up the cross and follow him. I don't have the big bag of salt tonight. It made a big mess this morning, so. But these were the two choices that the rich young ruler was faced with this morning. And it's important to go over again and reiterate the message this morning, because it directly ties into the rest of the passage tonight and how God turned it around from talking to the rich young ruler and turning it around to his disciples and teaching, using it to teach his disciples. And again, the rich young ruler came and he ran after Christ, and he fell on his feet and asked him, What shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus told him, you know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, defraud not, honor thy father and mother. And the young man said, Master, I have observed all these from my youth. And you read in Matthew, and it says, But what lack I yet? And Jesus told him, Go and sell all that you have and give it to the poor, and come, take up the cross and follow me. And the young man was unwilling to do that. He was unwilling to forego and forsake and sell everything that he had, that he either worked for, inherited, all the wealth that he had. He was unwilling to get rid of it, to turn and take up the cross and follow Jesus. The Bible says they turned and he went away sad and grieved, sorrowed. And it was at this point that Jesus turns from the young man. Obviously, he probably watched him as he walked away, and as the young man's walking away, he turns to his disciples. And he says in verse 23, And Jesus looked round about and said unto his disciples, How hardly shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? And so his disciples were astonished at his words, but Jesus answered again and saith unto them, Children, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? Obviously, he's talking about the rich young ruler and how he was trusting in his riches and his wealth, and thinking that there was something that he could do or purchase that would get him into heaven. And Jesus turned to his disciples and says, How hard is it for someone who trusts in their riches and their wealth and what they've possessed and worked for to forsake that and follow me and turn and enter into the kingdom of heaven? And his disciples were like, this Bible says that they were astonished. They didn't understand. They were confused, saying, What is he talking about? Because it was, at that time in their society, the people who had the wealth and the riches had everything. And they were looked upon as being the most important, that if someone were to go to heaven, it would have been a rich person. They were considered an elite part of the society in the upper ranks and in the government and had control over anything. And in their minds, if there was someone who was qualified to go to heaven, it would have been someone who had money, who had wealth, who could do whatever they wanted. And so they were confused in whether or not, I'm not sure if the disciples still at this time thought that Christ was coming to set up an earthly kingdom and that it wasn't, they weren't sure that, didn't know that he was meaning that there was a kingdom to come. Or what if they thought that, you know, if the rich people can't be saved, then if God's set up his earthly kingdom now, who is going to be on our side if we don't have any rich people? And so they were confused. They didn't understand. It was like, what is he talking about? And he turns to them, and he addresses them as children, which was a common thing for disciples or students to be referred to as, meaning that he was going to teach them something. And he says, how hard is it for them that trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God? That young man, the rich young ruler, was trusting in his riches to get him to heaven. And his riches failed him. As I said in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8 and 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves is the gift of God, lest any man should boast. It's nothing that we can do, no amount of riches, of possessions, or anything in this world that can get us to heaven. And for someone who that's who they trust in, for their daily lives, to get them through everything, they trust in their riches, Jesus says, how hard is it for them to turn and forsake that and follow me and enter into the kingdom of heaven? And then he gives them an example, a parable, of to better explain what he is talking about. It says in verse 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. Now, it seemed like every single different commentary I read had a different point of view and different thought of what this is, what this means. But for me, I just take what the Bible says and interpret it literally. And when it says a camel to go through the eye of a needle, it means a camel. Amen. Amen. Not an elephant, as I read, or a thread, piece of thread or piece of wire. He says a camel, so I'm going to say that he means a camel. Right. And to go through an eye of a needle, well, a camel can't go through an eye of a needle. But there was, in Jerusalem, a small gate that was referred to as the eye of a needle. And it was so small, in fact, that it was even hard for a man to go through. It was a small... I read a while back that in order for a man to go through this small door, he would have had to bent over and walk through it, signifying that for some, if it was late at night and he wanted to go through, they would go through that way so that someone could stand guard. In case he was coming in to attack or take over the city, he was in a defenseless position as he came through. So that if he did have a sword, they could see it before he could do anything, and they could kill him right there on the spot. And so it was a small door, and they say that it was impossible, almost impossible, for a camel to go through this door. That the only way that a camel, if it was a small enough camel to go through the door, was for him to get down, to kneel down, take everything off of it, and then I don't know if he was to crawl through or shove him through or whatever, but that was the only way. An incredibly difficult, almost impossible to do. And Jesus says in verse 25, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. He says, is it easier to take that camel, take everything off of him, get him down on his hands and on his knees, and push him through that door, which was an incredible undertaking, than for a rich man, a man who trusted in his riches, to go and follow God and enter into the kingdom of heaven? And by that, they probably understood a little bit more that he's not saying that it's Well, he's pretty much saying that it is impossible for a rich man because they depend so much on the riches. Whether it's because they've worked so hard for it, or because if you have money, and especially in that time it was viewed, if you had money, you could do anything. So everybody wanted to have money. Everybody works, and still even today, people work and work and work so that they could have money, so they could be comfortable and do what they want. So for a man that trusts in that to get him to heaven, it's harder for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for him to enter into the kingdom of God. And again, it says that the disciples, they were astonished out of measure. They were completely confused, didn't understand. They even talked amongst themselves, well, if a rich man can't be saved, then who can? If someone who has everything, if they can't be saved, then who can be saved? And obviously they still didn't quite understand what Jesus was talking about. If a rich, who then can be saved? As in Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. God is the only one that can take a man who trusts in his riches and get a hold of his heart and change his heart so that he forsakes the thing he values most to turn and follow him. It's only God that can do that. What man thinks is impossible, God can do. It's like, who then can be saved? If the rich can't be saved, and Jesus says, I can. I can get a hold of their heart. And the disciples are still kind of confused, and then Peter comes in, and Peter begins to say unto him, lo, we have left all and followed thee. So unlike the rich man who couldn't forsake all and follow me, we have. They weren't, the disciples, they weren't the richest men. A lot of them were fishermen or publicans. They forsook all and followed him. In the beginning of Christ's ministry, he came up to them and he says, forsake all and follow me, for I will make you fishers of men. And so they left all, they left their house and their wives and their jobs, and they forsook all and followed God, unlike the rich young ruler who could not do that, would not do that. They did. He's like, what about us who have forsaken all and followed you? And Jesus answered and said, and this is the meat and potatoes, the part I wanted to get to. He says, verily I say unto you, there is no man that hath left house or brethren or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, but he shall receive an hundredfold now in this time houses and brethren and sisters and mothers and children and lands and persecutions, and in the world to come eternal life. So he says, he's not just talking to the disciples. He's talking about anybody who forsook all, forsook anything, and turned and trusted in God, put their faith in him and followed him and took up the cross and followed him. I will bless you. It says 100-fold. And he's not just talking about, yes, there will be the blessings in heaven to come. He's like, no, in this time, he says, here on earth, I will bless you 100-fold with brethren and sisters and fathers and mothers and lands. I will bless you. And then not only that, but you will spend eternity with me and have eternal life. All because you forsook all and followed me. Receive 100-fold. Now he's, like I said this morning, he's not talking about that, if you forsake your house, you're going to have 100 houses, or if you forsake your brethren, your sisters, you're going to have 100 brothers and sisters. He's not talking about that, but he will give you equivalent to that or even better blessings than anything that you've left behind. Anything that you thought before was worth saving and was more precious and more valuable than turning and follow God, it'll be 100 times better than you can ever imagine. And this isn't the first instance where God has taken someone who's forsaken all and trusted in him and he's blessed him. You can go back into Job. And all the land and the daughters and the sons and all the sheep and the camels that Job had, Job was faithful to God. He trusted God and would not curse God. And the Lord allowed everything to be taken from him, and yet he still would not curse God. And at the end of the chapter, you can go and turn in Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42 and verse 12, and it says, "So the Lord blessed the latter end of Job more than his beginning. For he had 14,000 sheep, twice as much as he had before, 6,000 camels, twice as much as he had before, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 she-asses, and had also 7 sons and 3 daughters. So not only did he bless Job, give him twice as much as he had before, but you go on, it's even better than that. And in all the land, and he called the name of his first Jemima, and the name of his second, Keziah, and the name of the third, Karen Hapuch. How would you like to have that name, huh? And in all the land there was no women found so fair as the daughters of Job, and their father gave them inheritance among their brethren. And after this Job lived 140 years and saw his sons and his son's sons even 4 generations. So Job died being old and full of days. All because Job's trust was not in his possessions. He thanked God for his possessions and realized that the only reason he had all these is because God was good to him. And because of that, even when God allowed the devil to take everything away from Job, he still trusted God and knew that God was in control and did not curse God. And in the end, it says in the latter days, God blessed Job twice as much as he had before. And not only that, but his daughters were the most fair women in the land, and he got to see 4 generations of his grandkids. When he died, he was old and full of days. The Lord blessed him beyond probably Job could even imagine. I mean, he had great possessions. He was a very rich man to start off with. And yet because he followed God and trusted him, and God blessed him and gave him way more than he had before. He said he will give you 100-fold. Let me get back into Mark here. It just makes me wonder what would have happened to that rich young ruler if he would have just forsaken his riches, just how much God would have blessed him. The disciples who did forsake all and follow God, like I said, they weren't the richest people in the world. But at the same time, it did take a lot of faith and trust to forsake everything that you knew. They were fishermen. They knew how to fish. And that was their way of taking care of their families. And they forsook all so they could follow God. And the Bible says that he was going to bless them 100-fold. Now, to me, like I said, you know, it's more than just a number. Because it's signifying it's more than we could ever imagine. And the blessings are going to be different for every single person. I was just thinking back and just how the Lord's blessed me, and what might be a huge blessing to me might not be that big of a deal to somebody else. Like I said this morning when I gave up soccer and now I'm able to coach soccer, you think, well, soccer's a big deal, whoopee-doo, it's a sport. You know, they run around on the field and kick a ball. To me, that's a big deal. And not only do I get to coach these teenage boys, but I get to have an effect in their life and an influence in their life. And to watch them grow, especially this last year, it's a Christian school, so I can tell them about God. It's not a public school where I can't even say his name. I can tell them about God and tell them the reason they are playing is to give glory and honor to God. And to watch... Oh, no, I'm going to start. Amen. You can ask Vicky. They got it. They got it. And when we played in state, they played with their whole heart. And even the captains of my team pulled everybody together and said, we're not doing this for ourselves. We're doing this to give glory and honor to God. To know that I had a part in that is a huge blessing to me. The God might bless you in some other way. Some other way that might not be the most important to me, but to you it's a big deal. And then for me to be able to teach the 7th and 8th graders and to see them grow and to have an effect on their lives, these are huge blessings to me. More than I could ever imagine before. And yet somebody else here might think, I don't want to teach 7th and 8th graders. With all the things that they have to go through, I enjoy it, and it's a huge blessing to me. And like I said, it's more than I could have ever imagined. I don't know the different ways that God would bless you. But for each and every single one of you, the way that he does is special to you. And that's just how big of a God that he is, that he can do that. He can bless you 100-fold, way more than you can ever imagine, if you would just forsake all and turn and follow him and watch him bless you. I couldn't imagine being able to be married to a woman like Vicky. Now she keeps me on the right path. Lets me know when I get out of line. She's a wonderful woman, and I'm so thankful that I got to be married to her. I can't imagine being any better than that. And that's because God is blessed, and we waited on him and let him choose who we were going to marry. And it was the best possible choice for us, and that because God did that. We let him have control. God is such a good God. He's such a loving God. He didn't snap at the rich young ruler and tell him what he's done wrong. He didn't rebuke the disciples because they didn't understand what he was talking about. He simply loved them and tried to teach them and show them his love. And because he loves us so much, that's why God sent his only begotten Son to die on the cross for our sins. So that we could ask him to forgive us of our sins and he could save us and he could take us to heaven one day. That's what it says, if those of us who follow him, he will bless us here on earth 100-fold, but not only that, when we die, he takes us to heaven. We get to spend eternity with him. We can read in Revelation and all about all the different things about the New Jerusalem and the millennial reign. And then once the millennial reign is over and God destroys and remakes the earth, and we get to live in the new heaven and new earth for forever. And yet we probably still can't even comprehend how wonderful it is going to be. Even John, when he wrote the book of Revelation, there were some things that were so wonderful he couldn't even describe them. And that's what we get to look forward to if we just forsake all take up the cross and follow him. Go through the trials and the tribulations and the persecutions that may come, but we can know and have faith and trust in him that he will take us through. He will carry our burdens. He will give us the strength. And he will bless us beyond we can ever imagine. Here in this earth and in eternity to come. And all we do, you know, you can talk about it and it sounds as simple as can be that all we have to do, all we got to do is just give this up. Yet how hard is that? And our way of thinking, it's hard to give up something that we know for sure, that we can count on. And yet we read in God's word how he tells us how he's going to take care of us and what he will do for us and how much he will bless us. All we got to do is trust him and put away the riches, whatever is hindering you. Maybe it's not riches. Maybe it's something else hindering you from following God. We just follow him. He will bless us 100-fold. He will take us to heaven when we die. We can't even imagine. So I pose the same question that I did this morning. It's a different crowd tonight. Jesus is talking to a different crowd in the latter part of this text. He's not talking to the unsaved anymore, to the rich young ruler who's trying to get to them. He's talking to the people who have already forsaken all and are following him, that if they can continue to follow him and trust him, he will bless them. That's us. We continue to follow God, take up his cross, do his will in our life, not our own, and that he will bless us. We just got to get rid of whatever's in our life that's hindering us from following him. Put it away. It's not worth it. And follow him and just watch the blessings. Have you ever just sat back and taken a look and just counted the number of blessings in your life, the number of times God blessed you? I guarantee you'll run out of numbers. You can sit there. I can sit there and sometimes while I'm praying, I just begin to thank God for all the things he's doing. You can just go on and on and on and on and on. If you just take time to think about just already the ways that he has blessed you for following him. And he's not done. You just continue to follow him. He will continue to bless you. But you have to follow him. He will not bless somebody who has turned his back on him. You have to follow him, take up his cross, and follow him. He will take care of you. You will never be without want. And you won't even be able to count the blessings. They may not be, you know, he may not give you the most money. He will always take care of you. But like I said, the blessings are different for every single one of us. Just take time. Think about them. Count them. To know that he is such a loving and good God, that he will always take care of you and he will continue to bless you. So which way will you go? Will you continue to say, I just can't give them up? Or will you say, it's not worth it? I'd rather have the blessings of God than anything that this world can provide. This is only for a moment, only for a short time, and then it passes away. These are eternal, forever. And not only that, he may give you some temporal blessings too. But they'll be way worth anything that you can get over here. Forsake all and follow God and watch the blessings. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you for this time. Thank you for speaking to my heart, Lord. And I thank you for so much how you've blessed us beyond our comprehension, Lord. And I pray that you just help us just to follow you, continue to follow you, take up the cross and rely on you, put our full faith and trust in you, and just watch you bless us, Lord. I thank you so much for it. I pray you just view this now. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.